Welcome to Am I the Bleep?
Welcome to Am I the Bleep? I'm Jonathan. He's also Jonathan.
Hello.
Did we think to do that on purpose? No. But here we are, and you get to determine which Jonathan is Jonathan-er. Am I the Bleep is a show where we read posts from the Am I the Asshole subreddit, and we do our best to coach them. We decide if they are, in fact, the asshole. We've recently started doing a little bit where we just read the headline of the post, the title of the post, and make our call right there and then. It's going to be a little bit different tonight, only because it's tonight, not today. We're normally recording very early, or reasonably early, but with the time change and life happening, we've decided to do an Am I the Bleep Nights. So you get to enjoy our sultry voices. Give me some of that sultry voice, Jonathan.
Hello.
Terrible, terrible. So thank
not
you.
Not sultry for, enough for you?
Not sultry. I need at least 10% more sultry.
Well, my issue so far with this concept,
sure,
is that
yeah,
you call it am I the Bleep after hours?
The nights.
After nights. And I was thinking Jonathan's after dark.
After dark?
John's after dark, yeah.
John's after dark.
What do you think?
I don't know why, but I don't feel even in the dark of night, I don't feel comfortable calling you John.
So, yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
What about instead of Jonathan, we go with Jonathic?
Ooh, Jonathicica?
Jonathicica.
You're bringing up some really old problems for me.
That's good.
That was my given name, and actually went through a complex name changing process. They were like, why do you even need three C's in Jonathic? But it was what it was.
We're getting therapeutic on Am I the Bleep?
No. Therapeutic.
Therapeutic.
As they say. Do you want to just jump in?
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like this energy is keeping us
awake.
Early awake.
Awake after dark.
This is going to be the episode that people say, oh, I fell asleep to this one and it was so nice.
So sultry.
So sultry.
I think it's my turn, so I'll just go ahead and read it.
Go for it.
Am I the asshole for expressing discomfort about my wife and her friends pranking my mom on her wedding day? This is posted by NaiveDegree3529. John, are they the asshole? Just gut instinct.
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no as well, but we could both be wrong because we're here to share some insight and not judge people rashly or severely, but I feel like that makes it a little more fun.
There's several more reasons we could be wrong, but that is probably the major one. Don't judge a post by its title.
Don't judge an asshole by its cover.
For sure.
Okay. Am I the asshole for expressing discomfort about my wife and her friends pranking my mom on our wedding day? My mom hasn't been the greatest in the past. She can be really rude and was catty. She didn't get off to a good start with my wife due to her own rude and self-centered behavior. But I took my wife's side and laid down boundaries. My mom gets that she can't be rude these days. I fully get my wife will never like her. Mom probably won't like her either, and we all just avoid each other for the most part. Don't get me wrong, it makes me sad as I used to be close with my family, but my wife comes first. We recently got married and it was nearly a perfect day. The one issue that aroused is my mom had a fairly large, very noticeable food coloring stain on her cheek, about the size of a lighter. Obviously, she wasn't happy about this and wanted it covered. She never does her own makeup and knows very little about makeup. The makeup artist was a friend of my wife's and knew all the drama about my mom. She told her she would try, but the makeup would have to be darker to hide it. She and my wife giggled ahead of time and decided to fuck with her. She made it super dark, like orange. My mom has fair skin, so it looked ridiculous. My mom seemed to believe that nothing lighter would cover it and just removed all the makeup and went on with her big pink blotch. I didn't know about this at the time, but we recently got back from our honeymoon and my wife hosted a dinner to look at wedding pictures. Her friends all began laughing about what they did to my mom. This was the first time I heard about it. I said it was kind of mean, girlish. My wife gave me a look. Her friends kept saying it was funny, and my mom is dumb and got what she deserved. At this point, I got annoyed and said they acted like middle school bullies and that they should be embarrassed. Whatever my mom had done in the past, she was not the problem on the wedding day. This may be way too far, but I said at least she laughed it off and moved on with her spot. They would have spent the whole day insecure and worried about Instagram. When they left, my wife became very upset and said I should 100% be on her side, not 95%, and that I humiliated her by speaking to her friends like that. She accused me of being a mama's boy. So, Jonathan, after dark, am I the asshole? Am I the bleep?
This sounds like the plot to a 1980s film where the daughter-in-law somehow arranges for the mother-in-law to get her comeuppance through some makeup prank, I guess. I think I don't think that our OP is an asshole. I feel like we got it in one. There's a lot to be said about being catty, about being rude, about being not nice when you're getting to know one of your children's partners. It can leave a bad taste in their mouth. It can make them sour towards you, and it can make it harder to build a relationship later on, especially if they were to bring you grandchildren, for example. So not treating them with respect does tend to have consequences, but the consequences have to not be something that lowers the said future daughter-in-law. I don't think that pranking someone who you don't have a good relationship with is the right way to go. I feel like that's just you being vindictive. I also think that pranks are only really funny, properly funny, when everyone is in on it, including the person being pranked, even if it just means that they're confused for a while and then they're let in on it and can have a good laugh as well. I agree that this is just being mean, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just sensitive to even the lightest bullying. Maybe this is my own lens. What do you think?
Well, as somebody who grew up being called Jonathicka, I really can appreciate it.
I was your
bully. Only by you. Yeah. It's always another Jonathan.
It's always another John.
Two out of three Jonathans are bullies. It's a stat that's been coming up recently in the literature.
Yeah. One's a Jonathan, two's a pair, three's a bunch of bullies.
As they say.
Yeah.
So I think OP is not the asshole at all, but there's a better way to deal with it. Like, I think any normal person could do this, and I think it's really cool that they stood up for their mom, especially their, you know, this individual. OP says in the first paragraph, don't get me wrong, it makes me sad. I used to be close to my family, but wife comes first. Obviously, yeah, Things have changed since this transition, but OP is making a choice that their wife's opinion comes first, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's really important to stand behind your partner, especially if there's some vindictive behaviors going on, and we don't really know the full story there. Like, what really happened between the mom and the wife? There's probably a whole post just about that, and we could learn a lot by that. But I think the prank went way, way too far. It's like at a wedding, their wedding, there's going to be pictures. These pictures are going to last a lifetime, and we're just going to paint her orange. Kind of sounds kind of evil, really. Mm. I would say, you know, if the post were the other way around, that individual would be the asshole, but we always focus on, you know, who we're coaching. And in this case, we're coaching ROP Naive Degree 3529. And to them, I would say, you did a really good job standing up for your mom in a way that was not aggressive. They didn't go aggro. They weren't like, hey, you know, like, stop fucking around. This is my mom we're talking about here. Don't be mean. You're all fucking bitches or jerks or whatever the case might be. They said specifically, as far as we know in the post, that they acted like middle school bullies and that they should be embarrassed, which is a very adult way to have this conversation. And I applaud OP for doing that, you know, keeping calm and really taking control and of your own mental and emotional health in a time when you're probably very pissed off.
I agree with you.
The next level. Thank you for finally agreeing with me. This is the first time in Am I the Bleep history. but I would go one further level, which is, you know, say, hey, can we stop this conversation for now? Like, I don't like that we're making fun of my mom while we're watching pictures of the wedding. Let's just look at more pictures. Let's do that. Mm-hmm. But talk to your wife privately, like in front of the friends. There's never going to be a situation where calling someone out in front of a bunch of people is going to be the better situation. So I'd say just get through it. You've obviously already gone through some of this in the past, I feel. Have the conversation at night and sort of reframe the relationship that you want to have with your wife in the scope of the family. I think that would be the best way to do it. With that, it kind of seems like you and your wife are on a bit of a different page about being how you're behind. You feel you're behind her 100%. Bless you. And how
I sneezed with the mute on for all of your benefits, because I'm not a middle school bully. I respect your ears.
But I say bless you because I'm not an asshole.
Yeah.
But yeah, it feels like you feel like you're on your wife's side 150%. She feels like you're not completely on her side and might have, you know, different motives or whatever the case might be. Having a conversation, especially early on in like this next season of the relationship, I think could be really, really important. Very, very powerful.
let's talk about that for a second. Yeah, what does it mean to be behind your partner? Because I don't think...
Good question.
I don't think this new wife understands what it means to be 100% on someone's side. 100% on someone's side isn't blindly agreeing with everything they do. If you're really on someone's side, when they're being the asshole, when they're, you know, doing the wrong thing, who's going to tell them if not you? Who's supposed to be this person who says, I care about you to not let you be your worst self? Let me bring this up to you and, you know, help you out. I think there's a lot of room for people to take that too far, but not doing it at all is a complete, you know, is also too extreme in the other direction. You have to be willing to stand up to the people you love if you want to be on their side.
Yeah, and it's not even calling somebody out or anything like this. Bring it to a different place where it's like, hey, I have a really great vision for you, my partner. Really, we're investing in each other and deciding who we're going to be, especially in the case of, you know, a long-term relationship or marriage. And say, hey, I have this vision of you where you're this great person who's doing this. But right now, it seems like we're making a lot of fun of my mom. And even though I can see how it makes sense, you two haven't had the best relationship, this isn't what I want in the future of our relationship, to just have, you know, painting my mom orange. I felt like that went a bit too far. And that's a totally reasonable conversation to have. I feel like I totally agree with you. Again, first time in Am I the Bleep history, we have to kind of go beyond, you know, this idea at least a little bit. Like, it's okay to have a conversation about what you'd like to have with your partner and how that will affect the various relationships. I'm not saying this is easy. Like, oftentimes, the in-law relationships are very, very complex. And I'm actually surprised we don't see more of those conversations at the Am I the Asshole thread. But maybe I just have to look harder. But yeah, definitely have the conversation. Don't be afraid to have the chat. And be better.
The crazy thing is that your wife wanted an Oompa Loompa thing going on inside of her wedding photos. That's something that even if you are a mean girl, I can't imagine wanting. I think it's a bad prank all around. No one got the upper hand on that one.
No. And do you want to get an upper hand on the next post?
Sure. Question that was terrible, but sure. Yeah. You know what?
Hey, it's after dark.
It's after dark. It's
you're literally in the dark with like a spotlight coming up your chin. Like,
well, I'm trying like to set the
goosebumps story.
I'm trying to set the mood for you. You don't like it?
It happened to a friend. Happened to a friend of mine. A friend of mine. Go ahead.
All right. Our next post is from Throwaway Lido Second, who writes, am I the asshole for refusing to pay for my stepdaughter's tuition because she never liked me? I am a 39.
No.
Oh, right.
You are the asshole.
I am the asshole.
We have to get a soundboard that's just like, you are the asshole.
Yeah, we let everyone fall asleep. We lull people to bed with our dulcet tones. And then all of a sudden, bah, 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 bah.
Yeah. Am I the asshole for refusing to pay for my stepdaughter's tuition because she never liked me? You're kind of the asshole.
You're going to say kind of? Okay. I'm going to say pretty much.
Okay. The gray area.
We'll stick with the gray area. I'm a 39-year-old female who's married to my husband, who is 55 years old. They got married 6 years ago, but they've been together for 8 years. He has two children. One is a 20-year-old boy, and one is a 19-year-old female, Emma. The OP herself has a daughter who is 9. I'm going to return to the first person just because there was a lot of info there. So hopefully that helped a little. I was a widow when I met my husband. Emma has severe issues with her father getting married again, while her brother got along very well with me and my daughter. He is the best older brother out there. Emma did not like me, and she treated my daughter very badly too, to the degree that she almost never left my arms when her sister was home. When Emma was 15, she permanently moved to live with her mother. My deceased husband left me a small fortune when he passed that I never touched, since I had a good job and never wanted anything more. So last year, I helped by paying my stepson's tuition. I'm planning to do that with my daughter too, and the rest will go to my daughter. My stepdaughter is very angry now, calling me an asshole. Am I? I never had a good relationship with her. She always hated me, and I don't think she's becoming a good person. And honestly, I would rather leave more to my daughter than pay for her ungrateful ass. My husband is sad because he thinks I am being unjust. I am very sad about it, but I still don't feel I am the asshole.
You did a good job. I feel like you always end up with the ones with the unstructured grammar.
I do. I don't know why I keep doing that, but I don't read them ahead of time. So that's how it ends up. But you know what? I get to rest my tired brain now from doing all of the grammatical correcting, and you get to answer, are they or are they not the asshole?
I just like how there's a sentence, my stepdaughter is very angry now, calling me the asshole, period. Am I? Asshole, am I? As Yoda says.
Asshole, am I? Oh, man.
We have Yoda, to get one funny
Yoda is Yoda. Today. Yoda is a stepmom for the ages, I think. Yoda's a stepmom from a long, long time ago.
the mom we all wish we had, Yoda. Okay, I think that. I think this is tricky. Okay, here's how I'm going to look at it. If we have somebody who's 19 years old, their name is Emma, and this is the problem child as such, and there are issues with the divorce and getting, you know, the father getting married again and didn't get along well with me. So we have an issue where the family is not blending together properly. And we see this all the time with blending families. It's very, very common. So when,
Sometimes it just doesn't blend.
You need the immersion blender.
Yeah.
And I think that it's very, very common. I know in both cases where I blended families with my own self, like there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of dynamics that have to get refixed. And it's not always so, so clean. And then now we have OP who is saying that, you know, they left, they went to go live with their mother. And now that I have a fortune, should I be also supporting my stepdaughter, Emma? Who is like a good, super great kid at 19, especially when there's a lot of moving parts? I think not investing in their education is actually a risk factor for them actually growing and becoming a good person. I think that there's an opportunity for you to bond, and it's an opportunity that you uniquely get to have. I know before I said kind of the asshole, I'm going to agree that it's a pretty much the asshole. Obviously, there's a lot of feelings involved, and I'm not saying it's fair that it's like a Emma was mean to you, but it sounds like you want a relationship with Emma and you never got to have that chance because of, you know, maybe how messy things were had gotten during the blending. For me, I'd want to know all about the blending, what happened, you know, what events transpired that Emma wanted to leave and go live with her mother. Maybe that's just what made more sense for a bunch of other reasons and had nothing to do with it. Or maybe there is a gripe here. Either way, we want to understand it. But if you really want a relationship with Emma, and if you have more than enough money, like you have your good job, you have this extra money you've come into, you're paying for the other kid's tuition, saying, hey, I don't think you're going to be a good kid anyways, not paying for your tuition is like shorting your stock a bit. And I think that's unfair. Again, like think about yourself at 19. Like, I was not the best kid, and a lot of other people weren't either. And if people didn't invest in me, I probably wouldn't have had the chances to get where I am now. So yeah, pretty much the asshole, I would say. What about you, John?
I think that's really well said. I'm actually going to go ahead and say completely the asshole. We have precedent.
We have precedent.
Well, we have precedent on this show of saying if you have stepchildren, they are your children. That is the deal. Mm-hmm. When you get married to someone, they become your children just as much as your own. The thing I keep thinking about is that if my parents had invested in me and my oldest sibling and told the middle one, nah, you're not cool. we're not gonna do that. I think everyone in the family would be reasonably upset, not necessarily because my oldest sister was always the nicest or the most well-behaved, especially at 19, but because it feels like you are specifically and purposefully disadvantaging this daughter of yours. Now, I understand that you have beef, and I think Jonathan's spoken quite well to the fact that there's going to be beef sometimes, and adding to the fire by effectively disowning the child, I feel like isn't something that you get to do just because this is a stepchild. I don't think that's a reasonable option. You know, I'll remind people that you don't get to pick your parents, and you don't necessarily get to pick who your parents remarry to, and you expect them to treat you with the level of care and respect that a step parent or just a parent would. So imagine yourself in Emma's shoes. Even if Emma, and hey, I don't think anyone on this show is saying Emma doesn't suck. I'm sure Emma sucks. We're taking you at your word. Even if so, you should still support Emma financially with this windfall of money you received from your deceased husband.
Yeah, I think like if I were posting this specific post on TikTok, a lot of people would say your money, your choice, but I also think it's your relationship, your choice. And not saying every family will have this opportunity to afford all of their kids' college tuition. That may not be the case. But in this case, it is the case. And if you're able to improve in your relationship by having a conversation and saying, like, even if the conversation was this, hey, Emma, I know we have never had a good relationship. I know I felt like shit from you in the past, and you felt like shit from me in the past. I can only imagine. And I know there are a lot of moving parts, and I don't think that's fair for you, but I have received this money and I want you to have a good life. And now a lot of the factors that are there are out of my control. But what I'm able to do is I'm able to offer you some money to go to college if that's something you'd like to do, or to go to trade school if that's something you'd like to do. And what I wanted was to have a moment to maybe have lunch or even a phone conversation to talk about what that could look like. Now, I know most step-parent-child conversations don't start that way, but I encourage for more of them to do so. Meet them where they're at, have a conversation, make a better choice, because the Emma's behavior is not in your control, but you have an opportunity to open up a relationship with them, and that's completely in your control.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've brought up a good point, and I would also point out to the OP, you're punishing your stepdaughter for acting in the exact same way that you are currently. By she dismissed me first, and so I'm going to dismiss her as a family member.
Everyone's so vindictive today.
And that's, you know, but that's what happens when the sun goes down and the. That was terrible.
Try again.
You're going to edit that out.
No, I'm not. Make I'm sure. Not going to.
You better edit that out. You're a me. Oh, man. Are we keeping it all in on Am I the Bleep Nights?
Yeah, I don't edit anything ever.
Why do I? Okay. Well,
why am I the editor then? One sec. I want to go back to.
Go for it.
Today we're talking a lot about like what's in our control versus what's not in our control. And sure. There's something that's in everyone's control, which is to go on Spotify and give us like 10 big golden stars. Now, we don't spend a daylight savings time day. And by the way, for those of you who don't know that is, today we just lost an hour because time is stupid in Ontario. And that's the only politics.
And most of the contiguous US and Canada, I think.
It's so dumb. But anyways, we lost time and we're spending one of our very few hours of the day reading Reddit and sharing our opinions. And if that's not valuable, I don't know what is. So please give us 8 gold stars because I need that sweet, sweet dopamine. I need that hit. I need that reinforcement. And I only get it from positive words that aren't even words. They're just stars.
As the show progresses, I'm slowly and surely slumping down into my chair. And the only thing that can lift my spirits and also physically lift up my body at this late, late hour is your reviews. Your reviews, not the review of that one time that I burped in the mic and Jonathan refused to edit it out because he's a nasty man, but because...
Because you called me names.
I called you, yeah, because Jonathan's vindictive and if we don't get 5 stars, he's going to do stuff. I don't know what. He'll do it. We're all vindictive on Am I the Bleep Nights.
Vindicative.
Why don't you go ahead and read the next post.
Bad Jonathan, shut up. Okay. Am I the Asshole? I cried because I didn't get a gift. And this is by St3PH, which I think means Steph. 2804. Hello, Stathreep. John Rom, do you think that they're the asshole? Because they cried that they didn't get a gift.
This is my literal nightmare. I've had nightmares where I just couldn't handle not getting a gift for my birthday and I cried and cried. And the reason why it's my nightmare is because I think it makes you the asshole. I think you are not entitled to anything just because it's your birthday, even though birthdays are sacred. So yes, I'm going to say you are the asshole.
I'm going to say not the asshole just to be divisive. Just because I'm vindictive. Vindicative.
We can only agree every 39 episodes, I'm pretty sure. How many episodes have we done? Never mind. Go ahead and read.
Come on. Am I the asshole? I cried because I didn't get a gift. Today is Mother's Day in the UK. Happy Mother's Day. I, female 36, got upset because my fiance, male 34, didn't get me a gift from the kids. He didn't offer to do anything and has been at football, then gaming all day. I've cleaned, cooked, and dealt with the kids. It was our anniversary a few days ago before Valentine's Day, and we agreed to do gifts and cards as a joint day rather than two. I splurged on him, spending $200 on him, getting him things I know he'd love or wanted. I got nothing. He said he ordered me something that didn't arrive. Yet when I asked him to either chase it up or ask to be refunded, he gets annoyed and pissed off. His behavior has convinced me that he got me nothing. For Christmas, I bought him a PS5 and loads of clothes, whiskey, chocolates, and a PS5 game. He got me a jumper and slippers from him and the kids. He said some of my gifts never arrived and seemed to be a constant excuse. My love language is gift giving, cuddles, kisses, etc. I enjoy watching people happy to receive gifts I've given and the joy it brings. I'd like to spoil my kids. I like to spoil my kids and my fiance when I'm able. So it really hurts when no one bothers to do it with me. I don't get gifts from anyone. Is that what that says? I don't get gifts off anyone. My mom stopped giving me anything when I was 15. I got it. So I don't get gifts from anyone. My mom stopped giving me anything when I was 15. And the kids rely on fiance to get them something to give to me. Now, I'm not bothered about the cost of anything. You can spend as little as you want, but it's about the effort. Card and a little something says that you've thought about me. I don't think I'd been as upset if he had made some kind of effort to have helped me today or did something nice like make me a cup of coffee or tea, or a cup of tea for breakfast. But yet again, I'm completely ignored and not worth the effort. After waiting pretty much the whole day thinking he would say or do something, I just completely broke down and cried. My partner said I need to get a grip, and I'm being childish and petty. So, am I the asshole for crying over not receiving a present? I got a grammatically tough one, too.
It's, you did, and you did very well.
In fact, Reddit was vindictive.
I was going to consider it, encouraging you to read it in a British accent, because I feel like that would have just made your whole life better. But, you know...
It wouldn't have made their life better, though.
No, just yours. So... you're not the asshole. And then I'm going to go ahead and put ourselves in an interesting situation. Normally when we get posts or people, clients like this, we'll say something like, well, what do you think is going on? What, how do you feel about maybe going to a couple's therapy? What do you think it means if you don't get these gifts? Because I don't think that you cried because you didn't get a gift. I think you cried because you understand that you've allowed your relationship to not be equal. And I would say that it's being reflected in the consistent actions of your partner. And why the relationship is not equal, that's something that's worth working on, working out, figuring it out. Sometimes it's as simple as this person doesn't like you very much. And I know that's kind of a hard thing to hear when you're in a relationship, but that can happen. Sometimes there are reasons. Sometimes there are circumstances. Sometimes it is a misunderstanding. Those things are worth determining. But the first thing that's worth determining is, why are you upset? And I don't think you're being childish and petty. It sounds like you are realizing that this relationship is... it is an unkind relationship to you. Whether this partner is being unkind on purpose, I don't know. We can't answer that. But I don't think it makes you an asshole for recognizing that the relationship is lacking in kindness, if that makes sense.
I think it does. So I started watching House because I'm like consistently 30 years late to everything in my life. Hilariously just turned 30, so therefore... you figure out the math on that.
Yeah, you've recently gotten to S Club 7 too, haven't you?
S Club. Okay, so the reason I bring up House is obviously it's a story where you have this guy, Dr. House, who runs differential diagnoses on people, meaning that he says something is diagnosable, like let's say it's lupus because it's always lupus, because it's not all of these other things. It's not cancer. It's not this, therefore a lupus. And then they go through treating things and figuring it out based on the list of symptoms. And here, we have this unique thing where this whole gift-giving thing is a symptom of potentially a bigger problem, where the only time in this whole post that I see something that I'm like, wow, that's kind of rubbed me the wrong way, is when the husband said to her to get a grip for crying. Now, even if you, like, as a partner, if you don't agree with something, it doesn't matter. If you see your partner crying, you take time to listen, you take time to take a break, to console, to offer a little bit of any bit of compassion, and go from there. By just saying get a grip or calm down, you're doing the exact opposite most of the times, and you're not meeting your partner with compassion. When we talk about love languages, I'm not saying, hey, I just want a gift. Like, maybe you do. But in this case, it seems the gift is just like, hey, I want to be thought of. And in this case, you know, the family might have means, they might have a lot of other things, and they just want something small to show that, you know, people are thinking of them. And in a conversation, if that's like just, you know, what happened today when somebody was crying that they didn't get a gift, I think there's a, could be a bigger problem, a bigger diagnosis to be had as such. So do I think they're the asshole? No, but I do think that we can't wait for severe things to happen or like complacency to happen to have these conversations. When we start to notice like, hey, we've been dating for even 2, 3, 4 months, and we're starting to notice a different kind of behavior from our partner, that like we don't need to nitpick, but maybe something that just really rubs us the wrong way, gives us the ick, or is inconsistent with something we want. We have to bring that up. It's our duty, because we should like ourselves enough to want to have like a loving relationship that meets the needs that we have in a loving relationship. And sometimes this will be inconsistent with how somebody else views it, but that's a great place to have a conversation and figure out what works for you. And in this case, obviously, very clearly, these conversations are need to be had. Also,
respect to anyone out there who's listening and says, oh, can't you just want for once be like, just break up with him, just end it. I understand, and I understand the frustration. But the truth is that if someone's been in a relationship like this for a long time, think about it. They've had that conversation with themselves, or other people have. And if they're still in this relationship, it's because they are coming up with reasons to stay in it. And so you have to tackle that too. What is it that's keeping you in here? What is it? Have you looked at it critically recently? Have you thought about, you know, maybe he makes the best gelato in all of England, but is that enough to keep me in this lackluster relationship that makes me cry?
That's not a wide range of people, probably.
There is one, listen, so, I mean, by definition, one of the people in the UK makes the best gelato. I don't know who that is. I don't know if they're a good person, but I would probably want to stay in a relationship with them longer than I needed to get at that gelato.
For sure.
I don't know why I said it like that, but
it's okay. You did, and it's done, and it's, I'm not editing it.
Apparently, you know, honestly, I'm starting to think that you don't edit the show at all.
No, I don't. I'm keeping that in too.
You nasty man.
A black puff of smoke leaves the mouth.
But if you don't want to be a nasty man, you can rate, review.
No, I'm not done yet.
Oh, are you
don't
not
plug
done?
The show. I have.
Oh, okay. Never mind. You don't interrupted rate or review me. The show. Delete this episode right now. Stop listening.
Oh, man.
Unsubscribe if you're subscribed.
I just wanted to speak to your breakup point because I think it's really interesting. And then you can plug the show and give your quote and we can move on with our Jonathan After Dark.
Oh, yeah. No, do the thing.
But yeah, it was. I think the breakup point is really interesting. And the reason why often we kind of speak to the need to have conversations is because if you go to your partner and say, I would like more compassion in our relationship, not like I want to spice things up, but that's important too. But in this case, like I just need to know that I'm cared about. That conversation can go a few different ways. It can go, hey, I do care about you. Let's take a look at some examples from the past. It could go, I do care about you, and there's no examples from the past, and so on and so forth. If there are no clear examples of the thing you want, what are you doing there, right? And that's a question that you yourself have to answer if you're not getting it simply from a conversation like that. So the reason we point to communication is because, to your point, John, they're there for potentially a long time. You know, if you're in a relationship for 10 years, maybe things changed, maybe there was a trauma, maybe some other thing happened. There are other factors to consider, but saying what you want is either a gateway to getting more of the thing that you want, or it's a gateway to having the conversation about how to get more of what you want, or it's a gateway to a transition out of not getting what you want and highlighting that and putting that need on a pedestal. That's really important. Now you can plug our show.
If you like the show, do the things. You already know what to do. Just do it. Don't wait. Just do it. How was that?
It was really good. So like if you are on Spotify listening to our episode and you like it and you have more time to listen to more episodes,
just do it.
Just do it. If you like our show, and want to rate us 8 stars, just do it.
Do it. Yeah, just do
if
it.
You want to check it out on all the platforms, because we're everywhere, including Christian Mingle, just do it. There's no question.
Just go on Christian Mingle and find this podcast.
And listen to two Jewish guys talk about Am I the Bleep?
Yeah.
Am I the Asshole?
That's what I assumed that Christian Mingle is for.
But yeah, friends, there will be plenty more Jonathan After Dark. It's clear this format is much better than all of our others.
It's the best format. Why have we ever been podcasting in the daylight?
And by the way, I know we're all complaining about how late it is. It's literally like 8:30 when we started this, and we have no excuse.
And it also feels an hour earlier because we just changed the clocks.
Yeah, so it's really 7:30, but it's actually 8:30. And because the second you turn 30 years old, you're like an old man. It's like, we feel like it's like 10 o'clock and we should have already been in bed for an hour. So with that, John, take us away with our motivational quotes. We will, tomorrow's a new day.
My mother always used to say, the older you get, the better you get, unless you're an asshole.
Whoa, welcome to Am I the Bleep?